You do what's right, God will bless you. And undoubtedly, that's true. But it's equally true to say that the blessing is not always apparent at the time when we do what's right. And the question very often is, when will God bless you? Well, if you were looking for a moment at Joseph's life that we were looking at last week, both morning and evening, we discovered that he was hated by his brothers. He was the victim of a murderous plot. He was thrown into a pit. He was sold as a slave. In the household where he was a slave, he was accused of immorality, which he didn't commit. He was thrown into prison, and he was forgotten about in prison by somebody who said he would remember them. And therefore, if you were to use Joseph as an example that if you do what's right, things will work out for you, well, you wouldn't be terribly convinced that that was the case. And Joseph, of course, as we said last Sunday, was someone who, in the Bible, you never read of any criticism of him. So he was an A student, as it were, at behaviour, and all these things happened. He did what was right, but it appeared that he wasn't going to be blessed by God. Let me stop for a moment in the story of Joseph and remember what I said last week, and we'll come back to this in a moment. That the story of Joseph is a small piece of a vast jigsaw that we were talking about with respect to the Old and the New Testaments. Speaking about the totality of events in the world that God had created, and God's purposes were unfolding through all these events that you would see in the Bible. And of course, what we also said, that the Bible story doesn't just stop with the book of Revelation, but in this jigsaw, there are pieces of the jigsaw which are part of our lives as well. And yes, Joseph faced trials, and we're not exempt from them as well. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, we read, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Nothing in all creation," the Bible tells us here, "is able to separate us from the love of God." Consequently, all those things that were a catalogue of problems that Joseph faced, they did not separate him from the love of God. So let's go back to Joseph for a minute and see him in prison. And in prison, he was learning one of the greatest lessons of his life. He was learning the lesson of patience, and this must have been a very difficult and testing time for him. But without going into detail, remember what happened when he was in prison. There were two people were thrown into prison beside him, two of the king's right-hand officials. One was his butler and the other was his baker. The butler, who was often referred to as the cupbearer, he was the one who was required to taste the king's food. So often in those particular days when monarchs were reigning and people wanted to get rid of them, the only way of doing it was primarily by putting poison into their food, and that often occurred. And so a cupbearer was someone who ate the food the king was about to eat before he ate it, and if they survived it, well, it was going to be all right for the king. And the baker, of course, was the one who was responsible for the preparation of the king's food. Now, we're not told what they did and why they were put into prison, but they did arrive in prison with Joseph. And we discover that each one had a dream, which they didn't understand. And the dreams were related to each of their vocations. And we see that they were very dejected because they couldn't understand what all this was about. Because so often in those days, dreams were things that people had and that they took a great score as to what was the meaning of this dream. Because, well, sometimes when they needed guidance and help, these dreams were what they followed through. But Joseph suddenly was able to interpret the dreams. And remember, he interpreted the dream of the cupbearer and said that he would be restored, and of the baker that he would be taken, and unfortunately he would be killed. And what Joseph interpreted actually came to pass. And we see that the cupbearer was released and he was restored to his position. And as he was going out the prison door, Joseph turned round and he said to him, "Look, will you remember me?" And we read about that in the last verse of chapter 23, that Joseph wanted him to be remembered to Pharaoh because Joseph felt that, well, I've done nothing wrong and I shouldn't be in here. But we read that the chief cupbearer did not remember. And then the first verse of the next chapter, we read these words, "After 2 whole years." So Joseph continued to be in prison for further 2 years after he had done what he had done. And when these 2 full years elapsed, we discover that Pharaoh had a dream. And we read about them this morning. We'll not go into them in detail, of the 7 well-fed cows coming out of the Nile and being eaten up by the 7 cows that were scrawny and not well fed. Then the second dream about the 7 ears of corn, thick corn, full corn, being devoured by the 7 thin stalks of corn. And we see that Pharaoh was puzzled. But the point about these dreams were these, that both dreams were in sets of 7. And 7, of course, was a very indicative number in Egypt at that particular time. But both these dreams focused on, one focused on the flocks of Egypt and the other focused on the crops of Egypt. Both dreams were associated with the agriculture of Egypt and the Egyptian economy that facilitated the survival of the Egyptian people. And Pharaoh's problem was that nobody could interpret it. We know that part of the story well. And then suddenly the cupbearer remembered the guy in prison with me and remembered the dream that he had, remembered how that had come to fruition, the dream that the other guy had and how it came to fruition. And we see that the cupbearer immediately went when the king was in distress over the whole situation. And he said, "I know the answer to your problem." And the answer is found in prison. And Joseph was brought out. He was cleaned up. He was brought before Pharaoh. And, of course, immediately Pharaoh said to him, "I understand that you can interpret dreams." And what was Joseph's reply? Joseph's reply was, "No, I can't. But God can." And Joseph gave then an answer, an explanation for Pharaoh's dreams. And he did so without any religious exercise or pagan rituals. And he simply said that there'd be 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine. And God had already prepared Pharaoh's heart. And the pieces started to fall into place. And we see that God's blessing at that stage was seen in Joseph's life when Pharaoh appointed him to be the overseer of gathering in the grain during the 7 good years in order to have it for distribution during the 7 bad years. And we see that as far as Joseph was concerned, his time in prison, Pharaoh having dreams, him being brought out and interpreting the dreams, all these things started to fall into place and God's blessing was beginning to be seen in the life of Joseph. He'd been in the situation in Egypt for about 13 years at this time. All these things had gone wrong. "Why is God not blessing me?" was not something we read that ever Joseph said, but it's something that probably we would have said. But here was the answer to the problem, that Joseph's stint in prison was to do with the overall picture that we've used to describe the jigsaw. And Joseph's stint in prison was also to do, you may say, what relevance was it for me? Joseph's stint in prison was to do with your salvation. Now you may think that's strange, but it was. Because Joseph's stint in prison was eventually to lead him to the position that he had in the land. And eventually, as the story goes on, as we know the end of the story, about how the family came down and they became the children of Israel. And then eventually they were taken out of Egypt and went back to the land of Canaan. And it was through that family that God had ordained that his son, Jesus Christ, would be born and Jesus Christ would go to the cross and he would become the substitute and the sin bearer and the saviour of those who respond to the gospel. So that had the situation in Joseph's life not materialized as it did at that particular time, then God's plan of salvation would have been frustrated. But it wasn't going to be frustrated because God wasn't going to allow it to be frustrated. But at the end of the day, there was an answer as to why Joseph was in prison. And it was all to do with the wider picture of the jigsaw puzzle. So Joseph learned to wait patiently and to have confidence in God. And he had confidence that God was with him. And when he interpreted the dream, he was able to say, listen, it wasn't me who interpreted it, it was God. Is that not reminiscent of something that we read about in the New Testament, nearly in the books of the Acts of the Apostles? In the Acts of the Apostles, you remember there was a lame man who sat at the gate of the temple. And he was lame, and Peter and John were going up to the temple, and he was healed. And he went into the temple leaping and praising God. And all the people were amazed. And when Peter and John were asked to give an explanation as to how this happened, what did Peter say? It wasn't us. It was God. And so neither Joseph nor Peter and John were prepared to take the credit for what had happened, but they were giving God the credit. And Pharaoh was uncomfortable, to go back to Joseph for a moment. Pharaoh would have been uncomfortable as he sat and as he listened to the diagnosis that Joseph was giving in respect of the interpretation of the dream. You can't expect Pharaoh to be sitting with a beam on his face. Oh, this is great. We're going to have 7 years of plenty. He probably did beam on his face at that moment. But as time went on and there was going to be 7 years of famine, you can see that his complexion would have changed. He wasn't comfortable with what he heard. And the point I would make is there are times when we listen, as Pharaoh did to God's voice through Joseph, as we listen to God's voice through his word, it may be that there are times when we are uncomfortable. We're uncomfortable because God's word doesn't fit in with what we believe. Or maybe put it another way, God's word doesn't fit in with how we act. We think that, well, you know, we're decent people. And we've come to church for generations. And you could trace my ancestry back through the baptismal registers of Le Comfort Church. And I've had my family pew and have sat around the Lord's table and I've come Sunday by Sunday, and therefore surely that is enough for me to have God's blessing upon my life and to have assurance that one day when my mortal remains are lowered into Mother Earth, that I will be then in heaven. That's what I believe. But that's not what God's word teaches. It teaches the very opposite, because if you believe what I've just said you believe or might believe, then what you're saying is, I believe in salvation by works. And if we believe in salvation by works, the place that we should be attending is the chapel. But if we believe that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then it may be we're sitting here this morning at this very moment and we may feel somewhat uncomfortable. Because what's been said is a complete contradiction and the complete opposite of what I believe. And Pharaoh would have been upset as he listened about the fact that there was going to be 7 years of famine, and what am I going to do? I'm responsible for the whole of this kingdom that I reign over. And of course, what did Joseph say? Joseph said, well, you know, it'll be all right, because you need to appoint somebody to look after all this. And of course, immediately the penny dropped. And Pharaoh exercised a considerable degree of wisdom in saying, well, if God has been with you in the way that he has been with you, then you're the obvious person to take charge of all those situations. And so we see that Joseph's time of waiting for God's blessing, did eventually come, not in Joseph's time, but in God's time. Yes, he could have been bitter with his brothers. He could have been immoral with his master's wife. He could have done all the things that he wanted to do that were against what would have been right. But no, Joseph didn't do that. He sat back and he waited, and he never let his guard down, and God was with him. And a period of waiting often creates opportunities for advancement, as was the case with Joseph. And therefore, it may be that some of us have waited. And we've waited, and we haven't responded to the gospel, and we've waited for years. But we've got to watch that we don't wait too long. We've got to come, we've got to listen for God's voice. And when God's voice comes, then we ought to respond. Because God's voice is God's timing. It was perfect in Joseph's life, and it's perfect also in your life. And so as we come this morning, let's remember that Joseph waited. During that time of waiting, it wasn't an exercise of inactivity. It wasn't an exercise of laziness. It wasn't an exercise of indecisiveness. He was waiting for God to speak to him, and when God spoke, he responded. What lesson can we take away this morning? Well, surely we can take away the lesson, how can I use my experience of life to develop my confidence in God? When things don't go right, let's remember they eventually will go right. Is God using the experience that I have to develop and to reveal my character? Is God using this experience to provide an opportunity to use me in the future to be useful for him in some field of service? As we gather this morning, let's remember that Joseph wasn't in prison just because that happened to be destined for him in life. While it was destined for a reason. You're here this morning. And could it be this morning that you're not here by accident? You're here because God wants you to be here. He wants you to respond to his love and his grace, to listen for his voice, to detect his voice, and to discern his voice as Joseph did, as those who may not have already responded, and those who have responded. Could it be that God is calling us this morning into some avenue of service where he's been nudging us and encouraging us in the past, and as yet we haven't taken that step of involvement as we know that he wants, maybe to speak to somebody about the Lord, maybe to be involved in some aspect of the church life. And let's pray that this morning, as we think about Joseph and his period of waiting, that he was waiting on God, and God eventually spoke to him, and that same God wants to speak to you and me today. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we come this morning and we give you thanks for all your goodness to us. And we thank you that we can learn from your word, and we can learn from the experience of Joseph. And also, our Father, we recognize that we can learn from the experiences of one another, of those people whom we admire, those people who have been Christians for many years and we've seen them go through difficult times, and how that your grace has been sufficient for them. And that same grace is sufficient for us. Help us, our Father, to respond to your grace, and help us to go out from this place knowing that nothing is able to separate us from your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our concluding praise is to be found